off the start of the show today, we threw it out and said, hey, if the storm rolled through your neck of the woods last night and you snapped some pictures, please feel free to share. We got a text from John from Saskatoon, and he says, good morning, Evan. Yesterday's storm, I was flying back from Calgary around 5 o'clock, and I took a few pictures from the plane. The WestJet pilot did an amazing job flying around the storm, keeping the flight fairly smooth. The photos don't capture the true magnitude of what we witnessed. The last photo from Sask Alert shows where we were in relation to the storm. These pictures, I mean, it feels like you're flying. You must have felt like you were flying in the apocalypse. It was dark. It was, you can see where the rain is. And clearly the pilot trying his best to steer around, as Johnny mentioned in his text here. But I don't know how comforting it is to look out the window and see that kind of storm in the sky. Johnny, thank you so much for sharing that as well. Lots of great pictures coming in. Darla sent one in about 15 kilometers south of Saskatoon, talking about the backyard trampoline bolted to the ground, flew 15 feet in the air, hit our 40-foot poplar tree and landed in an open field next to us. And some pictures of downed trees, damage to... you know, they've got a little climbing apparatus there for their kids that was pushed off of its foundation. Strong winds and quite a storm, and lots of great texts that are coming in. A few people that are in the Madge Lake area got a good lightning and thunderstorm last night, mounted to some rain, but no pictures of damage in that part of the province yet. Well, you know, on the program, we often will talk about some of the crime and safety problems that are plaguing a couple of the big cities in the province. We often will talk about Saskatoon, talk about Regina. But the reality is the issues that face the big cities also face people in rural areas as well. And we see that, whether it's the drug problem, firearm issues, it doesn't matter what it is. Crime trends tend to be consistent in the province. The RCMP put out regular releases, and this last little while have shown us that our province has seen a sharp rise in deadly road collisions, the persistent challenge with intimate partner violence, and concerning homicide rates. And so to do a check-in with the provincial RCMP, I'm super happy to have Superintendent Murray Chamberlain from headquarters in Regina. Superintendent Chamberlain, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for having me.
So when we look at 2024, and that's the stats that were part of the release that the RCMP did on road fatalities on rural roads, we saw the highest numbers for last year that we've seen in the last 6 years. And I know 2025 isn't shaping up to be much better. What's causing this, Superintendent?
Well, we've got a number of issues, but I mean, there's four primary factors that we see in our fatal and serious collisions. Impaired driving, distracted driving, dangerous driving behaviors, primarily such as speeding, and failure to wear seatbelts. We've been wearing seatbelts for over 50 years in this province, and we still see a number of collisions and accidents where people are injured or worse because they weren't wearing a seatbelt.
So when you see those four things that you just listed, I mean, those are things that are in the control of the driver of the vehicle. So is it enforcement? Is it education? How do you go about trying to tackle bringing fatal car crashes down in the province?
I think it's some of both, Evan. I mean, enforcement plays a critical role because, you know, that's one of the ways we educate the public, but it's also information and education that, you know, things such as, you know, seatbelts are a perfect example. You know, we see a number of serious collisions on rural roads where people think, well, I'm only running a few miles down the road, I don't need my seatbelt. But the statistics certainly show that you should have your seatbelt on every time you get behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Are these grid roads, are we talking? I mean, obviously, I know it's a combination, highways and grids, but grids pose a problem as well when we're talking fatalities.
Certainly, you know, gravel roads, grid roads, things such as, you know, more magnified speed issues, you know, lead to loss of control. Again, there's a perception sometimes that I'm only running a few miles down the grid, so I don't need my seatbelt, or, you know, I can sneak home even though I've had a few drinks. All of those things contribute to our numbers.
You know, Murray, the seatbelt thing is, it hits home for me because I'm born and raised on a farm. In fact, in the next month, I will be spending a lot of time back home helping my brother with harvest. I am guilty. I am 100% guilty of jumping in the truck and leaving the bin yard to head back out to the field, driving down a grid road and not throwing a seatbelt on because it is a short drive. So it's, I think it's a wake up call for all of us.
It's certainly, like I said, it's one of those things that, and I grew up on the farm as well, Evan, as you know, so it's just too easy to jump in the truck and say, well, I'm just running across to the field, and sometimes bad things happen in those short distances.
When we look at impaired driving, distracted driving, things like dangerous driving, which I know was contained in the report, is there a demographic? Is this, and I don't want to be the guy pointing a finger, but is it younger people that are more apt to do it? Is it a certain demographic? Because I feel like impaired driving amongst our youngest, our newest drivers, is actually getting better. So what are the stats showing?
I don't have stats on that in front of me, Evan. I think, I mean, my perception would be similar to yours, that our new generation is maybe a little smarter about impaired driving, but if you look at the fatalities and the serious accidents we have, they cross all demographics.
Mm-hmm. Superintendent Murray Chamberlain is my guest. He's the criminal operations officer with the Saskatchewan RCMP and chatting with us from headquarters in Regina. Let's shift now to intimate partner violence. Sadly, Saskatchewan has found itself on the top of the list of reported cases of intimate partner violence when compared to stats from all across Canada. I don't even know. You know, this is one of those questions I was asked many, many times. But why is that? Why is this so common in our province? And is there anything we can point to that is causation for this?
I think it goes back to social issues and a number of things, Evan, as you're well aware, whether it's addictions or some of our social demographic issues. The bottom line is our numbers continue to go up. The increase has slowed a little bit. We're up 4% in the last 5 years. But our numbers are still, as you said, the highest in the country, and we simply have to find a way to do better. But that is something that the police themselves, I mean, we have a role in it, but there's all kinds of provincial partner agencies that we're engaged with trying to work on reducing those numbers.
Let's talk about that for a second, Murray, because in the bigger centers, I know having access to agencies helping people that have been victimized through intimate partner violence is likely easier in a large community than some of the rural and remote communities. Do you have access to that? Because that's an important partnership for police.
We do. Sometimes those, there's some distance and geographic issues sometimes play into it. But yes, we still have access to all the same agencies and partners that one of our municipal partners would have. Part of the issue in dealing with this is to break that stigma and have people actually report. We need people to report. We need to hold the people that are responsible for these offenses accountable. And that's a huge challenge, as you know.
I've talked to a number of police leaders, not just in our province, but across Canada, who are seeing the number of cases involving non-consensual distribution of intimate images. Basically, people sending nude pictures against or without someone's consent. Is that something that you deal with, and how do the RCMP deal with that issue?
Yeah, we're seeing the same trend, Evan. Our numbers are up about 60% over the last couple of years. It's obviously enforcement is part of that, but again, education, working with our partners, making sure parents and families are aware of the risks and how these are happening is a huge part of that as well.
You know, we've talked about homicides, murders in our province, and we've seen some numbers that are obviously not great. And anytime we see any stat, I was always quick through my time in policing to say, let's not get hung up on numbers because these are people. These are families. These are communities that are suffering. But where are things when it comes to murders in Saskatchewan?
Our homicide numbers continue to climb slowly. I mean, as you know, they trend up and down certain years, but 2024 was not a good year for us for homicides. We had 39 homicides with 41 victims, which makes it the highest year on record for homicides in the RCMP jurisdiction in our province. This year our numbers are down slightly, but not significantly. So it's an ongoing trend and certainly a huge challenge. Again, there's so many issues that play into it that policing is only part of the solution.
Well, what are the issues, Superintendent? Is it drugs? Is it gangs? What are the issues?
I would say all the above and many more, Evan. Drugs, gangs, interpersonal violence plays into some of those homicides. Social issues, there's addictions, there's so many things that play into it that, again, are bigger than just the police.
Mm-hmm. Superintendent Murray Chamberlain is my guest. We're talking about the violent crime, and violent crime often is what captures the headlines. But I don't want to avoid and forget to talk about property crime, because property crime is something that affects many more people. Lots of people victimized by theft, whether it's on farms, from vehicles, those types of things. And that can be overwhelming for police with limited resources. Often it slides down on the priority scale. So if you have officers from one of your detachments dispatched to a break and enter, and then a serious stabbing or a fight breaks out, they're going to be reverted and heading to that. What are you seeing with property crime? And I think as importantly, what are you hearing from people in rural Sask, in remote areas, about property crime and their frustration with it?
Well, property crime is actually one of our areas where numbers are remaining stable and even going down a little bit. Residential break-ins over the last decade are down about 15% in rural Saskatchewan. So things like that are continuing to slowly go down, which is very positive. A lot of the messaging about locking doors, locking vehicles, how to protect yourself and prevent some of these things seems to have be having a bit of an effect. So that's a kind of a bright area for us right now. Those numbers are going down, and I think the communities are seeing it. The relationships between our detachments and communities obviously are a huge part of that. And that police presence, having our members out and being seen in the communities, contributes to that. It also contributes just to that overall feeling of safety.
I wanted to, before we end our time, we're close to the end of our time here, I wanted to check in on the situation out in Richmond. So this small community, 120 people live there, is where this self-proclaimed Queen of Canada has taken up residence. She was invited there with her followers by a person who lives in the community and actually owns, I believe it's an old school in the community. Romana Didolo is the conspiracy theorist who is, I would say, along with the people supporting her, causing some big problems. You, the RCMP, had an actual detachment for a while set up in that community. Here we are 2 years later. I know their mayor, Brad Miller, recently was asking for help again with a sewage problem in one of their parks caused by this group. Can you give us an update, Murray, on what is going on there, and is there nothing that can be done?
We continue to be heavily involved in that, Evan. We're very aware of Mayor Miller's concerns. Our detachment commander there speaks to him regularly, and we're heavily engaged in that. As you said, early on in this, there were some things that we had our general investigations unit involved in, et cetera. Recently, we had the issue where the community needed to go to that property, and it resulted in an altercation, which resulted in one person being arrested and charged. So, yes, we're engaged in it. Yes, it's an ongoing issue. Some of those issues are not going to be police issues. Some of them, some of the things expressed in Mayor Miller's letter, certainly, while concerning, are going to fall to Sask Environment or Sask Health. But the police will be engaged, RCMP will be engaged on all of those things, even if it's just in the role of making sure we're keeping the peace.
Is there, I was going to say, is there anything that can be done? Is there attempts to put together a roundtable, everything from environmental leadership to police to you name it, just to help with this? Because I feel like this is, it's been 2 years and showing no sign of slowing down.
No, you're right, Evan. And I mean, yes, we're working closely with those community partners. And I think you of all people are certainly very well aware of how valuable that is. I can think of a couple significant events during your tenure as chief here in Regina where, you know, working closely with those partners eventually proved critical to the outcome of a tough situation. So, yes, we're engaged with our partners. Yes, we're moving forward on it. Is there an easy solution? Unfortunately, there's not.
Always appreciate the check-in, Superintendent Chamberlain. Thanks for your time today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Evan. Have a good day.
Superintendent Murray Chamberlain, Criminal Operations Officer with the Saskatchewan RCMP. And, you know, when our takeaway from some of these stats that we see in the province is the things that we can control, we should. And so, for example, something as simple as buckling a seatbelt. And I'll point the finger at myself. I'll be heading home in the next month to help my brother with harvest. Guaranteed, I will be making many trips from the bin yard where we dump the grain. I'm a truck driver. I'm a glorified. That's what I do, haul the grain. My brother does the work on the combine. So I'm the one going back and forth. The little bit of time it takes to put the seatbelt on. Grain truck is one thing, but, I mean, pickup truck. How many times are we running something out to the field or running in to grab a water, drink some lunch, whatever the case may be, take the time to buckle up because we see the number of fatalities hit the highest number ever in 2024. 2025 has not been kind in that regard as well. So some good tips, some good hints, and appreciate the catch up with Superintendent Murray Chamberlain. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Pierre Poilievre's by-election is happening on Monday night, the Battle River Crowfoot, Alberta riding. So far, 14,454 advanced ballots have been cast, which is actually a little bit more than what was cast in the advanced part of the election in the spring election. So clearly still a strong interest in getting out and voting. We've talked about that record-setting 214 candidates on the ballot, thanks to the efforts from the Longest Ballot Committee. As a result, Elections Canada decides to go with a ballot where you simply write in the name. They're not actually printing a meter-long ballot. I say it's election interference. Other people disagreeing with me. Mark in Saskatoon, here's how you can tell it's election interference. Most media doesn't even want to talk about it. I feel like if this was happening to a Liberal candidate, there would be screaming from the rooftops. This will happen to a Liberal candidate, you can bet. If they had been able to organize quick enough, once Mark Carney announced the riding he was running in, you would have seen a number of names there too. I'm guessing that this is something that permeates all political stripes.